Welcome to Chapter Select, the book club for video games. With you, as always, your humble hosts, Jens, that's me, and Randy. Say hello, Randy.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me, Randy, in the game that I picked.
So, can I ask, we're going to get it. We have so much to talk about as far as what we've been playing. The new systems are out. I got my Xbox Series X on Saturday. We're recording this on Monday. I've yet to play the damn thing because my girlfriend, I mean, as expected, has taken ownership of it. It is the Fallout machine.
Okay. How is Fallout 76 running on that thing?
Really good. She has no complaints. It loads really quick.
Mm-hmm. It's still shocking to me that that's the best looking Fallout game.
Well, it's the newest one. So
I guess that's true, fine. But it's does your girlfriend really? So your girlfriend's like a diehard who's still way into 76. She's still in it.
It's if she's either plays 76 or 4. She bounces back between the two. She loves them both. And when she's not playing those two, she's playing Outer Worlds, which was from the creators of the original Fallout. So I always make fun of her. I go, if you would just play a game that wasn't called Fallout, and she went, fine, I'll play No Man's Sky.
Wow.
So that's what she's trying as well. So I haven't got a chance.
Your girlfriend's taste in video games sound like the polar opposite of mine.
A polar opposite of mine, too. So, which is fine. So when we were doing Game of the Year stuff last year, that's where I got all my opinions for The Outer Worlds, is because she played it all that week. Did you give your Xbox a nickname?
I called it Xbox Living Room, I think was the suggested name, and it is indeed in the living room, so I went with it.
We are huge Mandalorian fans. Well, we're Baby Yoda fans, right? Uh-huh. If Baby Yoda wasn't in The Mandalorian, I doubt we watch it.
Oh, it's a great show regardless.
And my son calls the Xbox a fridge, so our Xbox Series X is named Baby Fridge.
Baby Fridge? I think that's probably a lot of people. I've seen that joke go around the internet.
Well, I thought I was original, but it's fun to have her go, Alexa, turn on Baby Fridge, and it happens.
Oh, okay. So you're doing Alexa stuff.
She has it all connected to her TV and Xbox, and the less she has to touch the remote, the better, apparently.
Oh, I just turn on with the controller.
Okay, but before we get into the stuff we were playing, I just have a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Were you just that mad that I made you play Evil Within?
Are you just that against Binary Domain?
We'll get to it. We will get to it. Jens.
Uh-huh.
Let's try not to make this a 5-hour podcast.
Uh-huh.
I know we can.
Sure.
With the question, what have you been playing?
Oh, good Lord. Well, all right. We need to acknowledge, I think, that, you know, these episodes sit in the vault for a little bit before they go live.
Yes.
So when we talk about new games, we're always going to, even though we're playing these games as they come out and we're on top of it, it's always going to sound like we're at least a week behind. I played Call of Duty Cold War for review.
I saw that. That was your first one, right? Your first written review for us?
Yep. I'm usually extremely lazy. I don't like doing written reviews. But, you know, I figured, hey, I can do one in exchange for a game code. I really want to play this thing. I was really curious about that story. And, you know, it wasn't the most interesting story. It was a very traditional Black Ops. Felt like it tied into the first game. You know, what's interesting is the historical fan fiction part of it. You know, having Reagan and Alexander Haig in there and meeting Gorbachev and having the bad guy be Perseus and all the little references to actual events and like all the news footage, you know, you kind of recognize it's like, oh, I know what this is. So if you're a Cold War history buff, I think it's a fun thing, even though it's really just a veneer on top of a traditional dumb action Call of Duty game. But they do give you a couple of levels that are more stealthy, and I liked those a lot. There's one that's almost a Hitman type level, where you have multiple ways of, where you're an undercover kind of double agent, in the KGB headquarters, and you've got multiple paths to your goal, and a whole bunch of optional stuff to do as well. So, I liked that. Other than that, next gen wise, you know, I'm still playing Yakuza Like a Dragon, and I'm playing Demon's Souls. I've talked about those on other podcasts, so I'm going to not talk about those. In fact, you know what? Let's just talk about games that are relevant to us on this here story-focused podcast, which are the story games. Firstly, just to follow up on, you recommended Carrion to me.
Yes.
A while back on this show. And I've fallen into kind of a Game Pass hole these last few days, where I've just been trying Game Pass stuff. Because it's just all these games that are suddenly that I'm curious.
With EA Play and stuff getting added to it. I have games downloaded, ready to play. I just can't get my hands on the Xbox controller at the moment.
So you were absolutely right, as I knew you would be. So I'm finally getting around to all that stuff, and I'm playing Carry On. And man, you were not kidding. That game, like the animation on that monster is so good. The way the movement feels is so good. The gore is so good. Right. The pixel art is so good.
Like, it was so hard to put into words the way that that monster flows in that game, especially later on once you become this big giant blob of a thing. It's just, it's so good. That I hope that game wins the newcomer award. I don't think it's going to win Indie Game of the Year because there's so many great indie games on the Game Awards, but I really hope Carry On wins that one because they did a phenomenal job and it's so original.
Yep. And I like the storytelling just through environments and those occasional flashbacks where you briefly control humans just before the outbreak, it seems.
Yes.
So I like that. Good way of getting that narrative across. But other than that, like the most narrative heavy thing that I've completed, which I want to recommend to you when it's on sale. I did not buy it on sale. It is not on Game Pass. I spent the $20 for it because it was just such an intriguing premise and such a cool art style. I couldn't resist. And that is Yes, Your Grace.
Oh, you were telling me about this because we were talking about a game I played for the old podcast that was similar. So I'm interested.
You're talking about something about Princess, Heart of Princess?
Hold on. It was on Steam, so I'm on my computer so I can look this thing up.
Yes. But what Yes, Your Grace is it's officially a strategy RPG. That's the genre where it has been slotted. But I would describe it more as a combination between a traditional adventure game and a resource management game. So it kind of has an adventure game interface where you're walking around the castle, you know, moving a cursor around, clicking on things. There aren't a lot of adventure game traditional puzzles. There really is just a little bit of that with a murder mystery that kind of happens at some point in the story where you got to investigate clues and interrogate suspects and stuff. But mostly your game time is spent just talking to people who come to you with requests and either granting their requests or not granting them. And then dealing with the ramifications of that and knowing that in order to grant their requests, you must spend resources, which are limited. Those resources being basically gold, supplies, the mood of the land, the happiness score. And then also your agents. So over the game, you unlock three different agents, a hunter, a witch, and a general. The general you've got from the start, pretty much since the tutorial. And you have to send them out to the world to do tasks, or you to fulfill requests from peasants. And the whole thing becomes about managing those resources and employing them correctly to get the best possible outcomes and to keep a nice balance of them. And you can't please everybody. So it's a game of tough decisions in governance and being king. And then this, at the same time, it's telling a tragic family story, kind of King Lear-like. You have three daughters and no actual heir to the kingdom. So it becomes – part of the game becomes about marrying your daughters off to sometimes terrible consequences and also preparing for a war that's coming to your kingdom. And it all kind of spirals out of control. And, you know, if you're a fan of things like The Lion in Winter or Game of Thrones, that kind of – or actually a good comparison for me would be like imagine if a single playthrough of Crusader Kings 2 was an adventure game with like Telltale-like choices and just a hint of the resource management that Crusader Kings 2 also has still there. And you kind of get to what this is. So, yeah, it tells a really great story. The characters are lovable. The presentation is in, you know, that 16-bit pixel art style with little pixelated characters that are moving around. Everybody speaks in a Simlish-like fake language. And it's got kind of a nice medieval-sounding indie score. The presentation is really nice. But really, it's the story that got me. There are a lot of good good subplots, good characters, and really rewarding stuff that happens with the choices that you make. Except, and this is the biggest criticism that I have of the game and that I've seen in other reviews, is that there's one really, really big decision early on that is core to the story, without which the story cannot happen, that you do not have a choice in.
No.
And it is the one thing where I can see people coming away from this game and saying, okay, this is one of those games that gives you the illusion of choice, and really the outcome differences are who lives and who dies, but the overall narrative arc remains the same. I played through it 3 times now. The first time trying to do a good playthrough and just barely scraping by, but keeping my family together as best as possible. And then the second time I did a Mad King playthrough where I basically put everybody to death that I could put to death and tried as, you know, ruled as chaotically as possible. But at that time, I had kind of figured out how to properly min-max the resource mechanics. So during the Mad King playthrough, I was also super prosperous. And the kingdom actually flourished, even though the narrative outcome was terrible. And then the last one was just an achievement cleanup playthrough. So I feel like I've now seen kind of every variant of mm-hmm. what can happen in this game. And there's a lot of variance on the individual subplot level and a lot of who lives and who dies. But the overall arc, as I said, is pretty steady. And I can see why there are people who say, I wish that there was more choice. But as far as this kind of a game goes, I think it's a great one. And I love the concept and I love the story as presented.
So the game that I was telling you about, it's called Long Live the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have left this on at some point because I don't remember playing this game for 28 hours. But that's what Steam says I played it. But it kind of has that same, it's a choose your own adventure style situation thing. But it's one of those where you have a day and you have to go to class and all this because you're trying to become the queen because...
Oh, yeah.
And all that. But it's so all that stuff. Then you're trying to build your points up and all these physical attributes, your social attributes, your intellectual stuff. And so basically you get in these situations and you have a choice on what you do. But some choices get blocked out if you don't have a high enough point total.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ridiculous amount of replayability to it. I really enjoyed it. And it's not my kind of game. There's just so much to it. So if you've never played that, it's $10 on Steam.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
Here's the thing with Yes, Your Grace. Yes, Your Grace does not have character stats.
Okay.
There's no leveling up your character and being gated out of things as a result of having leveled your character differently. You're gated out of things for not having enough resources. So that's the thing that you really are trying to prevent, is you always want to make sure you've got enough of each resource on hand so that, A, you don't fail out where you're at a point of no return where just... Oh, I don't have enough resources to like not be deposed, keep my kingdom happy enough. Or, oh, I need to have this particular thing on hand when this guy shows up for this investment opportunity, because this investment opportunity only comes once. And if I miss it, I'm not going to have that income ever. Like, if I don't turn the tavern into a brothel now and pay the 28 gold for armed guards to keep the violent men in line, then I'm not going to have that income for the rest of the game. So, again, it was like a... And there's a lot of... there's just financial decisions where, you know, you have to balance the demands of your family, such as, for instance, a nice and expensive wedding dress with the demands of the kingdom. And resources are very short. And the final third of the game is kind of hoarding. There's a... where it all builds up to a big siege. And you kind of have to hoard resources for a few weeks. The game takes place over 52 weeks, and each turn is 1 week.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, it's really good. And I think it's much less involved than that princess game you're talking about.
It might
I think
be.
It's
you
really more
it
about the story.
Yeah.
but then the adventure game aspect of it is that in between all the resource management, you're also trying to solve. There's at your daughter's wedding early on, there is a murder that you need to solve. And then later there's a ritual that you need to prepare for to help break a curse because your wife cannot bear male children because she's been cursed by a witch, or so at least you believe. Whether or not magic is real is kind of ambiguous in this world. But you have to prepare for a ritual, which can go a number of nasty ways if you don't do it correctly or have the exact right ingredients. So, you know, a lot of different outcomes that way. How about you, my friend?
So I've mostly been playing games that don't really fit in this podcast. You know, we talked about it on the W2M1. Shoot, what's that game that's called now?
Video Games to the Max?
Video Games to the Max. There you go. My brain's not working. So I've platinumed Astro's
Playroom. They always plug us, so we should plug them.
Yeah, absolutely. Astro's Playroom, I've platinumed. I've already played and platinumed Miles Morales, because I could not put that thing down.
Impressive.
If you liked Spider-Man, you will love Miles Morales. It's the exact same game, and that is a compliment. And I wouldn't say it's the exact same game. I think it's the same game, but most of the filler got cut out. It's more action. There's less crimes that you have to do. And as far as platinums go, you don't even really have to do like so many of them. You just have to do one well and get all the side objectives on it. And then you only have to do that crime once. There's few bases that you have to do. So it's all in all, it's just a much more condensed Spider-Man game, which is perfect and was a lot of fun. I think I put 17 hours into it. And I've moved on. I've been playing Bugsnax, which is weird as shit. And I am unsure still whether it's a good weird or bad weird. The controls kind of suck in it. I've been having some issues with that. But I like the puzzle aspect of it. It's Pokemon Go. Or not Pokemon Go. Pokemon Snap. Sorry. But instead of trying to take... Well, you still have to scan all these Bugsnax, which are just Pokemon. All they can say is their name. And that you just don't put them to battle yet. Maybe that's Bugsnax too. But... the story is interesting. The characters are fun, but it's now just I've heard the ending is really interesting, so I'm just kind of pushing towards that. I'm getting near the end, I think. I'm just trying to clean up some of the side quests, but it's fun, especially because it was free on PlayStation Plus. So, yeah, and you know, definitely worth checking out and see if you're into it or not. Other than that, like I said, I have a couple games downloaded to play on the Xbox Series X. I did download, I moved the Xbox One into my office now that she has that one in there, so I can play Game Pass games on my TV when I'm working on stuff or whatever. And I downloaded that Tetris Effect multiplayer thing, Tetris Effect Connected. Mm-hmm. I hope it runs better on the Series X. I played two multiplayer games and it felt so laggy at times, like especially when all three of you are fighting a boss or whatever and your boards get combined, it was like I couldn't get blocks to stick. I just sat there forever. So I don't know if that was just the game waiting for somebody else or my connection was just garbage or the Xbox One just didn't want to run it very well. So I have it downloaded on the Series X. I just haven't given it a try yet. But other than that, that's basically what I've been playing. I've been trying to focus in on one game at a time so I'm not out there buying a bunch of PlayStation 5 games. We spent so much money. We did all of our Christmas shopping about the same time, so our bank account went from looking pretty good to we got to figure stuff out because, oh, man.
Yep, so, at the same point now. I've severely overspent this month.
Yes, so I'm trying my best not to buy all these different games, and
Sorry, I was trying to get people. I've gotten a bunch of people to buy 13 Sentinels since it was on sale for $30.
If it goes on sale at the beginning of next year, I might. But
yeah, but $30 is a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you talked it up, and it was what up for best story.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Yeah. I listened to your guys' Video Games to the Max podcast.
Oh, cool.
We talked about the nominees. You guys hate on Last of Us Part 2 way too much, but that's okay. I will be ready to debate you guys when it comes time for our awards, and it'll be fun. Not that I'm pretty sure I know what our number one game is, and you guys confirmed that when you guys were picking your game of the year on there. Mm. And it's second for me, so I'm not going to have that big of an argument, so...
I don't know, Last of Us Part 2 might still make my top 10. It's starting to look like it might be somewhere
top 10.
Around the bottom of my top 10.
Top 10, he says. Maybe. Maybe top 10, he says. That's great. All right, let's get into this, sir. Binary Domain.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
All right. Well, Binary Domain is a science fiction shooter from the creators of Yakuza.
Why you like this thing. And Yakuza's even in this game.
It is designed by Nagoshi, Toshihiro Nagoshi, lead designer and creator of the Yakuza series. It was their response to Gears of War, essentially, at a time when Japan... It was interesting. There was like a little brief period when every studio in Japan was trying to make their own Gears of War with terrible consequences.
Yes.
Except for this one.
No.
The good one.
Wrong.
So this is, yeah, a game where it's the future. Global warming has made big parts of the world unlivable. There are kind of new cities built above the waterline by the various governments, kind of built on top of the ruins of the old cities. And, you know, governments are very authoritarian. Robots are used as a primary labor force, and companies kind of control the robotics. There's an American company controlling the robotics industry that basically has a monopoly currently, and Japan is trying to compete with them. There's a Japanese company called Amada that is trying to compete with Bergen. And in competing with Bergen, it turns out that they have been dabbling in creating human-like robots, robots that are indistinguishable from humans in basically every way, on the outside at least. A technology that has apparently been around for a long time, but has been banned across the world. So they are in violation of the New Geneva Convention, as it is referred to, which means that a UN troop is sent off to Japan to deal with... So there's an incident, there's an inciting incident early on where some guy... God, I forget where it even is. I think it's at the Bergen Company headquarters, right? There's a guy who storms the Bergen headquarters. Yes. He's kind of driven mad by having discovered that he's a robot, because these robots, you know, their consciousness is programmed such that they don't even know. You could be a robot, you wouldn't even know. It's very Westworld.
Yes.
That way, right? So
and
he's
I would
realized
say it ripped off Westworld, but obviously this came out well before, so.
Well, I mean, Westworld, the old movie from the 70s, totally different. I'm talking about new Westworld, obviously.
But
the movie, I just wanted to be clear, because there is an old Westworld, but it is not, it does not have the influence on, or is not that similar to this. Anyway, the other thing actually that this really reminds me of is, the new Blade Runner movie. I think we'll get to that in the next episode some, because I think this is a or even if you just think of the original Blade Runner, I feel that Binary Domain explores some of the same themes that Blade Runner explores, and I enjoy that aspect of it. But yeah, so there's an incident where a Holochild kind of rips off his own skin, starts shooting up this company headquarters, and that initiates this mission. Where our intrepid heroes, Dan Marshall, an American sergeant, designated the survivor because he has a history of kind of coming back from deadly missions that have wiped out his entire squad as the only guy. A close friend of his, Bo, Roy Big Bo, Bo Tang, ex-American Special Forces, Fei Li, who is Chinese sniper. British operative named Charles Gregory, ex-MI6. Rachel Townsend, who is also a British operative, close quarter specialist. My favorite character, Kane, who is a French assassination robot.
We'll get into the issues I have with these characters. His lines while you're playing are great.
Yes, I love Kane. So that's kind of your... And then later on in the game, there is a guy who's a member of a resistance group. A Chinese resistance group, a guy named Akira Shindo, Japanese resistance group, who joins you kind of later on in the game. And that's kind of your core group of characters who form a UN Special Forces unit sent to Japan to deal with to investigate the Amada Corporation. And of course, as soon as they start investigating the Amada Corporation, all hell breaks loose and they have to start dealing with a whole bunch of killer robots sent after them, which you shoot in the joints to dismember and have them fall apart in wonderful and hilarious ways. You know, shooting the legs out from under them, having them crawl towards you on the ground, finishing them off with a headshot. It is unbelievably satisfying. Can you imagine if a game where you weren't fighting robot opponents were using this tech, the ludicrous gore fest that you could cause. I'm surprised that nobody's tried it yet.
I'm trying to think of if there's anything, but I can't think of anything. I like that mechanic. I think it could work better, but I'm trying to be nice in that aspect because, of course, this is a 8-year-old game.
What doesn't work well to you for it?
Do we want to go gameplay first? You want me to go into the characters?
Let's talk about our team.
Okay, so I'm warming up to Dan, the main character.
Mm-hmm. I know you hated him at first.
Hated him at first. He and Big Bo, I almost didn't even want to play this. Because they are that whole macho characters that it's like, just why? It's like the if I remember right, the Army of Two Guys were the same way. I'm like, why am I playing these people?
Here's the thing, though.
But he's getting better.
Unlike the Army of Two Guys, it's pretty clear early on that Dan has a heart of gold.
At times.
So he is not, and he's also, both of those characters are funny to me because it's like the Japanese conception of what the tough guy American hero archetype is.
And it rubbed me the wrong way at first. He's getting better. I'm getting used to that character. I'm with you. Kane's my favorite character. Just, again, his quips are great.
I also really like Faye. I think Faye's great, and
Faye
she's got a lot of
grits. Yeah, Faye's been in my party a lot. I tried to change it up for an issue I will talk about in a minute. I just realized Charles Gregory is Troy Baker, who I should have known.
Troy Baker doing a British accent.
Of course. But the thing that I have, so they haven't delved in these first two chapters, they haven't delved too much into these characters yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they will later on.
Yes.
You get snippets here and there where you have quiet times and you have little conversations with them. I had one moment in chapter 3 where I was going around talking to all these characters and having conversations. And that's one aspect of this game that is interesting is you have the dialogue choices, which they try to do audio with. But I'm playing on Steam with a PS4 controller that's hooked up through the USB and it just doesn't work. So
It never worked.
It just never worked.
It did not work on the Xbox 360 with the Xbox 360 official microphone when I played it first.
It would be interesting if they retried something like that.
No.
Especially now with a PS5 microphone that works so well.
Okay, I guess. Voice recognition is such a crap shoot.
And
it
honestly
makes
you feel awkward.
Yeah.
Trying to talk to these
like
AI characters. But
this is why I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised when you told me that you used an Alexa to control your Xbox because...
I don't. She does.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I don't like talking to devices.
Yeah, it's just still weird to me.
Other than microphones,
She's
of course.
Even as far as in our bedroom, our lamp is controlled by Alexa.
Wow.
So, and which is the problem because there's an Alexa downstairs and the kids have learned that if they say, Alexa, turn the light off, it turns the light off upstairs on mom and dad.
Fun.
No, it's not fun at all. They love that game.
Well, you're just going to have to, when the Alexa does not comply, you're just going to have to shoot its limbs to dismember it.
Right, absolutely. If it had limbs. But
that's true.
The conversations and the dialogue choices are interesting. I think they're pretty straightforward. I still have the issue because I'm too lazy to attempt it again, and I've mostly figured out which button is which. Is I missed the configurations part that you told me about, or I did it wrong, or it didn't save. Because I remember going through and changing all these controls to make it like a PlayStation controller, and it's still spacebar and F and stuff, but I've just figured it out.
Oh,
but
you're using a PlayStation controller. I think the patch is just for
the Xbox.
The Xbox controller.
Okay.
It may not work with the PlayStation controller.
That's fine.
Is the thing.
I've gotten used to it. There's just a couple times where I've been in dialogue going, like in action, I know which button reloads, which button is this.
So here's my question to you. Would it be helpful to you? Are you the kind of person who you naturally know what buttons what, where if it were giving you the Xbox prompts, you could just do it with PlayStation controller anyway?
I don't use the Xbox often enough.
Okay.
I'd be pretty close. And it's not, like I said, it's not a big deal. I've got it figured out. It's just in those dialogue options when I stop and think about it, it's like, oh, wait. So I've said the wrong thing a few times, and, mm-hmm. and it's fine. That part of this game I enjoy. I think it's interesting. I hope it has a good payoff.
Yes.
Because right now you don't really see anything from it. I'm not going to get into the gameplay yet, but I absolutely hate that you lose, trust points or whatever it is, when these stupid AIs run in front of your shot every 2 seconds, and then they get mad at you for it.
Yep.
But that's a whole different thing.
Eventually, you adapt to just being careful. Actually, I had the same thing with Call of Duty Cold War, where your allies will just run in front of you a lot, and when you hit them, the game will immediately fade to black and tell you that you should not. That's much worse, where the game just says game over for friendly fire. So here, yeah, you lose some trust points, but I would still often reload. Like if I felt like I lost too many trust points by accidentally shooting my teammates, I would just restart.
But honestly, I think the characters are fine. I'm getting used to Dan. The only thing I hate with all of these characters, especially Big Bo, it's they have like 4 lines while you're in action, and they say it over and over and over. I love Kane. Kane has some funny liners. There's a part in Chapter 3 where you're trying to disable the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I went into an incubator thing or ventilator, he then reminded me that we have 4 things in here that we have to shoot so that you do not die. And in between of those, he would say it again. I think I got told 12 times in a minute and a half segment. Or I'm trying to remember one of Rachel's lines was like, we're in the deep end now or something that she says constantly. So I think they just do that to make sure that you change characters. I just change characters going, okay, his line has gotten old. Like I was using Gregory for a while and I was like, okay, his lines are getting old. Okay, let's move on. Let's try somebody else.
I like Kane because he's the best hype man. He's the one who pats you on the back the most. You know, magnifique, sir. But I also really like, though, Faye always is shocked whenever you do well. Faye will say, I didn't know you had it in you.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, too. And Bo just hates you. If you hide behind cover, he gets so mad.
He negs you because he's one of those kind of guys who communicates through negging. So that doesn't mean he doesn't love you.
But I'll be honest, as far as story goes and characters goes, I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried in Chapter 2. And the frustrations of gameplay were eking into the story. Chapter 3 brought me back a little bit, especially with the characters. I'm very curious where it goes. So that's the positive, okay? Mm-hmm. I think the story is good, and that's where I think it beats Gears of War.
Yep, and we'll have to go through the story, I think, in a little bit more detail.
Okay, but I want to get to my gripes as far as the gameplay goes, because it is brutal. So we talked with... The Evil Within, that my issue with its design is that your character takes up too much of the screen and it's tough to see things around corners and stuff. This game does it in the exact opposite direction because your character is so far off to the side, which is fine because you can see everything. But this game obviously gives you your reticle in the middle of the screen and it doesn't, when you aim, it doesn't zoom in a ridiculous amount like a Call of Duty game would go.
Yeah, it just zooms in a little bit.
It just zooms in a little, but it then takes the trajectory from wherever, what side of the screen you're on to your target point. So there are countless times where I'll be behind cover. I will turn out of cover and just shoot the wall, trying to hit somebody that's along the same wall as me. Because he just doesn't reach out far enough. So I have to come out of cover to do it. It does it constantly. There are some animations where he reaches out far enough, but there's some where it just does not work. And it drives me nuts. But I will say, as far as the gameplay goes, I know it's a Gears of War clone and they want you to cover a lot. But honestly, you have so much health at times, as long as you don't have 7 enemies on the screen. I run and gunned a lot of it. And you get so much health packs and stuff. So I've gotten
running
over that a
fun?
Little bit. Running gunning's okay. Okay, so this could be just a problem with me using the PlayStation 4 controller.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sprint button in the normal game?
Because
I have hit every button. There is no sprint button that is connected to a PS4 button.
Well, let's see. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Of course there's a sprint. Wait, you're so that might explain your frustration.
Yes.
Because
there is, again, I have every single button on here does something on the PlayStation 4. None of them allowed me to sprint.
Okay, let's see here.
So if there is an actual sprint button, I will take away a complaint and just say it's just the way things are connected, and I'm using the wrong kind of controller, and that's okay.
I'm looking at the controller layout here for a second.
Okay.
Okay. Button A is evade, hide, dash, and vault. So holding A, which on the PlayStation controller...
would be an X.
Yeah, it's the X. So does holding X down to sprint not work?
I will have to try it next time I play, but I have held them all, and maybe I'm just not holding it long enough. There seems to be... I don't know if there's just... things drag a lot in this game to me.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I'm just not holding it long enough.
Well, if you can't sprint, I could see this game being quite annoying.
It is. And maybe so if there is a sprint option, I will take away a lot of my complaints because it's not working with this controller.
Right. Is this the... when you asked me ahead of the show that I would need to defend my positions,
That's a good defense.
Realize that my defense would have to be, no, there totally is a sprint.
So there is a boss battle in Chapter 2 that nearly made me break everything. There's like a helicarrier that has a 4 or 5 engines that you have to shoot with this missile.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to move around for that one.
Try doing that without sprinting ever. And then wonder why. So
what are you doing to yourself, Randy? Why didn't you reach out to me about this at any point?
Because I just figured it was a shitty ass game. So here's we're bouncing around, but I want to talk about this boss because it's on my mind now. So try doing that boss, because the other issue is every time you get hit, It breaks whatever animation you're doing, which makes reloading flipping impossible. I don't know how many times I'd get halfway through a reload animation, get hit, and then have to redo the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But every time he gets hit, he then drops the grenade launcher or the missile launcher anyways. And then you have to pick it back up. And then by the time you aim, you have 7 guys in your face again. So you have to switch guns, shoot them all out. And then by the time you're ready to aim... helicarrier moves, and then you walk your ass to the other side of the map and try it all over again. So apparently, I played this game on super hard mode, and that's okay. So, but that's the sprint mode that apparently is in the game, and I will try it out the moment we're done with this podcast.
I find you can decimate those spawning enemies pretty quickly by just shooting the legs out from under them. And you can dash back and forth between the 2 corners of that balcony.
I'm gonna load this game up right now. The other section that it drove me nuts, and this obviously has nothing to do with the sprint button, is the car chase section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that one.
And that's the exact same issue I had before, where I would sit there and hit the reload button, and then the car would get bumped, and then the animation of you kind of rocking around in the car would happen.
All right, you may just have a controller support issue. It may just be that this game does not play well with the PlayStation controller. Oh. That's what it's sounding like to me.
But it would just stop that animation. I don't think that's a controller thing. I mean, even when I would run out of ammo, like if I would just hold, because there's not a lot of bullets in that when you're just holding the button.
I have not come across, like, I feel like this game, and again, I have an old ass computer. My computer is a decade old. I feel like this game runs.
It's pushing my button. How about that?
It runs flawlessly for me.
Okay.
I've not run into any kind of glitches or reloads not working or button.
Well, the reloading guns doesn't work, but everything else has been working fine. The main issue I have that I know is a gameplay thing. Holy crap, that is so loud in my ears. Hold on.
Yeah?
I'm trying to see if the sprint button works. Let me mute this thing. No, I can't. That's cool. Is the way it aims. It drives me nuts.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, so hold on. Let me look and see if I can.
Man, I really
hold
wish
the button
now
long enough and sprint. And maybe I'm just I'm giving this game too much shit. So hold on.
Yep.
Of course, I'm probably in a cutscene forever, and I won't be able to. So explain something that you like about this game while I wait for this cutscene to play.
Well, I really like everything. I think the shooting feels really good. I think it's an excellent cover shooter. I think the boss designs are great. I think the gimmick at its core, the dismemberment gimmick, is